I remember back when I was in youth group, it was Sonic Floods. I don't know if you guys remember them or not. Wow. We're not even, we're just going to stop that line right there. We're just going to stop. I lost it right there. So anyway, the crowd favorites on this song, this album.
Sorry, we're going to fake it.
Like, yeah, we're going to be like, we love them. It was like, we didn't even have to them. It might be one guy on a guitar.
Oh my gosh. Welcome to this episode of the NRT Now Podcast. I'm your host, Jake, and if you haven't already, make sure that you are subscribed, following, whatever that looks like on your favorite podcast platform. We caught up with David and Josh of Elevation Rhythm, and as you probably just heard, my days in youth group have quickly come and passed. It seems like it's way far back in the rearview mirror. But I absolutely love hearing what's going on in youth groups across country, because even though so many things have changed since I was in youth group, between the sound and just all the junk that kids have to deal with these days, the one thing still remains is that God is still on the move. God is still working in the youth groups. You know what? Enough of this old talk. I am excited for you to hear what's going on with Elevation Rhythm and in Elevation Youth. So with that, let's head to my conversation with David and Josh. We're here with Elevation Rhythm, and guys, I'd like for you guys to introduce yourselves real quick, so just so we can get your voices here.
Yes. Hey, what's up, everyone? This is David, one of the worship leaders on Elevation Rhythm.
And I'm Josh. I'm one of the producers of Elevation Rhythm.
It wasn't but a couple of months ago, I think, that it was that I got the chance to chat with Chris with Elevation Worship. And I get the feeling that you guys kind of work together a little. I think Elevation Worship, Elevation Rhythm, is there something there?
No, we actually don't know them.
Yeah. Oh, man, I'm so close.
Are you talking about like Chris Brown? I think I've heard of him.
No,
Elevation Rhythm and Elevation Worship come from the same church, Elevation Church. And so Elevation Rhythm happens to be kind of the new sound that is kind of coming out of the same place that Elevation Worship comes from. And primarily it started within our youth ministry, Elevation Rhythm did. And so now we get to kind of like live out of the overflow of what Elevation Worship has really kind of established and built as the foundation of what worship looks like for our church. And then we just kind of come alongside them and go, hey, like, this is the new expression of how we think that like the next generation is kind of leaning towards within worship.
David, I've seen you on stage with Elevation Worship, you know, all the videos and all that. What have you taken from the worship side and put into the rhythm side? And I guess vice versa, what's come from rhythm that's gone into the worship side?
I think from the Elevation Worship side that we've been able to incorporate into rhythm is the heart for excellence and the heart to connect people to Jesus. I think our pastor has done such a great job of communicating, hey, like, we're a church who worship. And worship needs to be a free-flowing, an overflow of the heart. And I think being able to take that aspect and that mindset into rhythm has completely kind of just like helped us evolve to understanding, hey, we're not just getting on a platform or on a stage to make people look at us. We're doing it because there's a heart of worship. There's a heart that's trying to point them towards Christ. And I think from the other side, what rhythm has definitely brought into a little bit of Elevation Worship is this fun energy, this like, hey, anything can happen, and if it does, let's just be ready for it.
Josh is laughing over here. You guys can't see this on video, but I feel like there's a story here. Josh is laughing like there's something to this anything can happen side.
Well, it is just one of those things to where we just kind of, we're kind of crazier. I think we're just a little crazier than Elevation Worship, and we kind of like take a little bit more risk than they do. And they're pretty like progressive and innovative. Mm-hmm. Like Elevation Worship is not in no sense like stale, but it even puts even more pressure for us to even be even more crazy. And so we do things that are probably like a little bit, I don't know if we should have did that in church, but.
Yeah, but probably a little bit non-traditional is probably the best way to say it.
So I got to hear some of the stories of the anything can happen.
So for our live recording, usually at a live recording, you know, you have a set amount of songs that you're going to do, and you kind of have a map of the song that you're wanting to do. well, at our live recording, one of our songs we ended up going back into, what was it, 5 times?
Yeah.
It was just like, okay, the crowd, okay, come on, guys, we're done. No, and again, 5 whole times, and the song is only 5 minutes, and it ended up being like 15 minutes on the night. Oh, wow. And so some of that like unpredictability,
or
like that.
When we invited a couple of people on stage and the stage got bum-rushed with 100 people, yeah, and they're knocking on instruments and like none of our stuff was getting unplugged. It was kind of chaotic. So it's just one of those things where it's just like we kind of go a little bit too far sometimes.
Well, I mean, it's a youth group, it's students, it's that. That's almost like a requirement for a youth group worship or student worship. You know, mm-hmm. If it's not at least just a hint crazy, it's just not a good youth worship.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's not Sunday morning. If we're here on a Wednesday night, let's not make it feel exactly like Sunday morning. Mm-hmm.
And so I get the chance to run sound, run tech for my church here in Texas. And that's one of the things that I get to do is, you know, I get to push it up a little bit more. The bass is thumping a little bit more than I would do on Sundays. It gets a little bit rowdy. There definitely are a couple of things of, are we really doing this in church? Maybe not necessarily from the worship, but, you know, some of the games and stuff like that. It's like,
yep.
Should we? Nah, screw it. Let's do it. We're going to have fun.
I agree. There's just like, there's something sweet about being unpredictable that I think is a little bit different from like big church. With big church, it's almost like you want to be a little bit more predictable so that people are like, hey, we're comfortable and we know exactly what to expect. Where I think with youth ministry and teenagers, like they love like the spontaneous moments of craziness, not just like necessarily spontaneous moments like we've all traditionally thought of it like in worship, but also like in praise and in the games and the programming and the lighting and the way everything sounds. It's just like, it's all about like, oh man, remember that cool moment that just happened out of nowhere? And so trying to sprinkle those in as many places as possible is, I think, where we're striving to be.
Attention spans have definitely changed since I was in students. Although I won't say how long ago that was because it's reaching further and further away. But just that spontaneity or just that hint of not necessarily the world coming into the church, but like, hey, this is real life out here. You know, this is what's on the radio over here. Or this is kind of the culture around us. Not ignoring the culture and not ignoring what's happening around us, but also kind of keeping that separation of here's church, here's what's holy. Mm-hmm. And it's tough guiding the kids through that and just making sure that there's that balance there so where they feel comfortable in church and on this path.
We 1,000% agree with that. And I think that was the real heart of our latest project that we put out, Growing Pains, is that we're trying to merge cultural relevancy with Christ revelation. And so it's not that we're saying, hey, like, we just want to be just like the culture, but there's some aspects. I mean, we all use an iPhone, and I wouldn't say an iPhone is Christian, but it's part of life. And so we're trying to find ways where we know, like, hey, our teenagers and our young adults are listening to this type of music. How do we bring this right spirit of Jesus into those genres that many people might not necessarily call worship music?
I don't remember the last time I had this kind of conversation on a podcast, but it was medieval times, I believe, that the church was, I know I'm taking it back, old school. No, I wasn't alive back then. Thank you very much. But I mean, there was a point in time where the church was the leader in the culture, the leader in the artistry, the music that was coming from the church was the top of the line. That was the gold standard. And I don't necessarily think that that's kind of quit, but it's awesome to see that it's coming. And also, like I said, from the youth side as well, being able to drive that and kind of keep that one toe in what you're listening to and the culture around you, but also pushing that excellence and pushing what's happening in the church to be just that same level.
It's so funny you talk about medieval times, but I was thinking about it the other day, and it's like a lot of eras started. We kind of like mark eras by the art, like the Renaissance era or the Baroque era. We kind of look at the music and the paintings, and we look at like, oh, look, this is kind of how you see that things start to shift in culture by listening to the music and how those things shifted. And so as like artists and musicians, we are vehicles for change when it comes to culture shifting. And so in church, it's the same thing. And I think that we also just care about these kids, where it's just like, we're not going to just give you the same things over and over because the world's giving you new content every 60 seconds. And so we also feel that, like, hey, we can't say we want to lead this next generation and not be at the pace that the culture is at, where it's just like we have to continue to be inventing and reinventing, and like we have to continue on that pace as well if we want to say we want to lead this next generation.
Well said, Josh.
And I think that leads into this album here. Yeah, I was just listening to it a little bit as I was getting ready for this. It just really hit me there. I talked about this with the River Valley youth, the River Valley worship team. It's like, guitars are coming back. And it's like, okay, cool, this is how this album is going to be. And I'm here for it. And then all of a sudden we got a little bit R&B in there. And we just, it like changed up on me to the point where it was like, ooh, like this is happening.
Ooh, made you feel something.
It did. It was awesome. Like, it kind of took a couple of different paths. And man, that was a lot of fun to, it just kind of made me step up and take note of what was happening. That was super cool of how that all ran through and collected well together.
Yeah, I like to say like this album is a reflection of what we see on Wednesday nights when we lead worship. And it's like, it's what the kingdom looks like. It's what our church looks like. We have kids of all kinds of ages and backgrounds and scenarios. And so it's like, we didn't just want to make whatever youth Christian music sounds like, because what does that even sound like? It should be a reflection of who you're around and your community and your local church. And so Charlotte is a very diverse city, and the people and the young people there are very diverse. And so everyone doesn't have a favorite song on this project as far as like, oh, this is the crowd favorite, but there is a song for everyone on this project.
I remember back when I was in youth group, it was Sonic Floods. I don't know if you guys remember them or not. Wow. We're just going to stop that line right there. We're just going to stop. I lost it right there. So anyway, the crowd favorites on this song, this album.
Sorry, we're going to fake it.
Like, yeah, we're going to be like, yeah, we love them. It was like, we didn't even have them. It might be one guy on a guitar.
Oh my gosh. This is a weird spot that I've been. Like, I'm not the oldest, but I'm not the youngest. I'm kind of in that, like, it's a hit or miss. Like,
gotcha.
I mean, my youth group definitely didn't sound like that back in late 90s, early 2000s is about when I grew up through youth group. And like, it's just interesting to see how those sounds change. You know, it was kind of like the rock-driven worship. I think Lincoln Brewster was coming out when I was coming through youth group and stuff. And it's just really interesting to see how the sounds changed. I mean, just even from 5 years ago, what you guys sounded like 5 years ago, what Hillsong Young and Free sounded like 5 years ago, to just really what we're hearing now. And it's, I love what you said, Josh, about just how music and art changes and marks these eras. It's just really interesting to see how that's traveled just in my, you know, relatively short period from when I was in youth group to now doing having this conversation with you guys.
Yeah, and we even when we were making the album, we had a lot of conversations about how this generation has even changed from, or like how we used to listen to records, you know, like you would put on a whole CD and listen to one artist and play the entire track listing, where it was kind of one genre. And now with the age of Spotify, with all these playlists, it's like you'll go from listening to Elevation Worship on their same playlist as Justin Bieber, then to like Kirk Franklin, then all the way to Billie Eilish. And so you've got all these genres and collections of different styles all on one playlist. And so when we were putting the album together, we're like, man, how beautiful would it be to have a project that kind of came across like a playlist too? And so that's why there's even a little bit of intentionality there. It was like, hey, this is what they're listening to. This is their world. But also, we know that this is definitely going to be something that's going to be easy to digest. And so one moment they can be like, oh, I want to be all the way in R&B. And then the other, I want to rock out a little bit. Then, or I just really want to like be in deep worship and play easy. And so like, or I want to give a Disney-esque feel and I want to listen to All Along. And so it's all in there.
Yeah, and that definitely came through. I love that you said that, because I didn't know how to describe it, but I love that you said it that way, because exactly what I was thinking.
That's awesome.
So I want to hear a little bit about what's happening in the youth group and kind of where Elevation Rhythm started and what's happening and what's going on in the life of the youth group that's kind of gone into this album here.
Definitely. I mean, Elevation Rhythm kind of started almost out of a need to just kind of help navigate where our youth ministry was for worship. And so we knew that, man, Elevation Worship is insane. They're amazing. And anytime we'd get in the room, you know, our teenagers would kind of want to maybe get a little bit lower to the ground and kind of bounce a little more. And so we started remixing some of our Elevation Worship songs. And that's honestly where Rhythm started. And then from there kind of evolved to like writing a little tag here and then. And then we started writing our own songs. And one day, you know, a pastor was like, hey, all these youth songs that you guys are doing in the youth ministry, like, what are you doing with them? And we're like, we're just going to keep doing them. And he said, no, you need to put them out in the world because clearly our teenagers love it. And so they need somewhere else to listen to it, not just in the context of our youth services. And so that's where Rhythm started about 4 or 5 years ago. And now we did like, I think it was 12 singles that we released. And we met Josh in 2020 or 2019. 2019. And the first time we worked with Josh was Better With You. And that was just like one of the most amazing moments because like I think we connected on a deeper level in studio. And Josh ended up coming in and basically creating just the new sound of what Rhythm is and where we are right now. But that's kind of pretty much where it started.
Yeah.
You want to tell them about where the album came from? The time frame that we wrote it in?
So that was maybe, it hasn't even been a year yet. Mm-mm. It's been, because, you know, you really have to like, I don't know, I like to say artists have to earn the opportunity to make an album. It's like, you can't just assume that the world wants to hear, people want to hear 12 songs from you, and then I really know you. And so we went through a season for a couple of years where we were just kind of earning the listener's ear and also exercising our gifts as songwriters and producers and worship leaders. And so we did that for a season. And last year at our youth conference, YouthX, we did a bunch of original music and we got the call where it's just like, hey, I think Rhythm's ready to do an album. And so that was in July of 2021. Mm-hmm. And August, we just started working on the album. We had tons of songs going into it, but we had tons of songs that we know we needed to still write. Mm-hmm. And so we went through a season of just writing, tweaking, trying new vocalists on different songs and trying songs live, trying songs studio. I mean, it was just like, it was a crazy process of just, but it was fun because we were so open-handed with it. And there's no rules for us because Elevation Worship paved the way and kind of like established enough, like, we know how to do things the Elevation Worship way or the worship way. And we're like, well, let's not just be a carbon copy of what they do. Let's honor what they did and even like be an extension of that. And so that means go places that they haven't gone yet or like they maybe not have the luxury to even do because they've kind of been, they've got their rhythm. I mean, for lack of a better term.
That's great.
So yeah, it's been a crazy process, but we turned it in at the top of the year and now it's out.
So what has some of the life been in the youth group that's gone into the album, that's gone into the lyrics, that's gone into the song? What's moving inside the Elevation Youth student department?
That's a great question to ask because a lot of our songs start off as conversations. Myself, Tiff, Josh, Nate, these are some of the writers that are on the project, and we are all within our youth ministry. We all lead a group. We're all having conversations with teenagers. And so a lot of the songs kind of begin with like, hey, what is happening in your group? Like, what are you guys talking about? So like a song like Easy came from a place because one of our students brought a friend to church who was from another church, and they're like, oh man, this doesn't look like worship. This doesn't sound like worship. And so we went back and we're like, okay, like, what is worship supposed to look like? What is worship supposed to sound like? And so the conversation came from, how do we help communicate with our teenagers something that they can say to their friends? Hey, worship is meant to be anything that is incorporating the heart of God in it. And so worship doesn't just have to happen in a building. It can happen in a conversation at school with a friend. It can happen over text messages. And so we added those ideas into the song Easy, where, you know, the lyric is like, I can turn my car into an altar. We can turn this room into a church. And so all of the lyrics and the songs really do stem from a place of like either conversation that we have with our teenagers and trying to figure out how to help them navigate what life with Jesus looks like. But then also sometimes it's like, okay, how do we help them grow in their faith and grow? And it's just not just like feeding them crumbs that they're just like having their conversations with, but how do we also push their faith in a place that like, okay, they're growing. That's where growing pains came from. We were talking, because I think we wrote that fresh out of the pandemic, right? And it was like, man, like, where everyone in the world, not just the teenagers in our youth ministry, had gone through this place where they're like, man, like, there was a lot of isolation and like, are we going to be able to grow from this? Like, I didn't get to graduate, you know, I didn't get to go to my prom. Like, man, like, I've missed out on so much. Am I going to be okay? And we wanted to let them know, hey, everything's going to be okay. It won't always be this way. You know, at your worst, when it hurts, well, don't be afraid. You know, sometimes faith has growing pains. And so we're trying to give them language to be like, you have to believe that, like, God still got you and this isn't the end. And so that's kind of, I know I've been rambling on and on, but that's just like a good place of where our songs come from and how they tied into our ministry and what we're trying to teach people.
I don't think that's rambling at all. Just there's so much that's happened, not just this last couple of years, but youth and students and what kids have to go through these days is just messy. Mm-hmm. Maybe that was the same when I was going through it and I just didn't realize it because I was going through it. Wow. But I mean, this culture, this time, you know, it's messy being a teenager right now.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's just good to hear what's happening, you know, in different youth groups, different student ministries, whatever mm-hmm. that term is, wherever we're at, just hearing what's happening all across the country, because number one, we're not alone in what's happening right here, but mm-hmm. just helping grow and just helping build, because this is something that we're all in together. You know, maybe it looks a little bit different over there in Charlotte than it does here in Dallas, but you know, it's the same heart of what's going on with everybody, you know, in the student ministry. And I don't think that I'd want to be a teenager in today's culture. I'm kind of thankful that I had to go through my junk just before a lot of the stuff started happening.
Oh, 1,000%. I'm glad I went through my crazy phase before I had to put it out on the internet for everyone to be able to talk about, judge, critique. The anxiety levels are through the roof in this generation, because they have to deal with the opinions of not just the people in their classes, but the people on the other side of the world. And so it's like, I'm so glad I didn't have to go through that at 14 years old. Are you kidding me?
Josh is over here like, nah, I didn't have to deal with any of that. I was cool through it.
Yeah, that was fine.
I didn't do anything crazy. It was... Oh, man. So, Josh, I want to hear a little bit about, you said you came in about 2019. What have you seen over the last, man, it's been almost three years now since that happened. What have you seen in that time since you've joined the Elevation team?
I mean, we've definitely grown. It started with just Tiff and David, and now it's like 15 of us. And so we've kind of shifted into more of like a collective. Rhythm is not just about it's not like a pop group or anything. It's really going to be a collective of singers, songwriters, producers, graphic designers. We want this to feel way more like a movement, because this is artistic and a very creative generation, and they just need opportunity to express their gifting and use their giftings for the kingdom. And so Rhythm wants to be that safe space for people who sing, who write, who produce, who do anything, and they can do it. And it won't be looked at as like weird, because it's not like, oh, that doesn't look like what we do on Sunday mornings. It's like, that's how I was received, how Tiff and David kind of welcomed me in. I kind of told them, I was like, hey, just so y'all know, I don't really do worship music. And they're like, yeah, that's perfect. And so, we've been trying to carry that and continue that same heart, where it's just like people who feel like, oh, I have this gifting, but I don't know if it fits inside the walls of church. It's like Rhythm's like, oh, well, you're perfect for Rhythm then, because what we're doing is not for these, like, inside of these walls. It was for the lost, and it's for that one. And so that's kind of like where we've been for the past 3 years, is where it's like we've just been creating, but also been welcoming in people of all kinds of styles and genres and walks, and then really just discipling them and developing in them, and then help them see how their gifts can be used for the kingdom.
So as we wrap up this episode here, I got to ask, who are your guys' musical influences, not only that have made it into this project here, but also just in general, you know, who do you guys listen to? Who are your influences? And it can't be Elevation Worship. We can't take off. We can't use the easy answer.
Yeah.
Oh, there's so many.
It's interesting, because I was a military kid, so I went everywhere, and I heard everything. And so I can tell you my influences go from Kanye West to Kirk Franklin to Paramore to Pharrell to Hans Zimmer. And you can probably find a song in this album where it's like I pick off all those people, but I think it's a little bit more eclectic because it's just I'm just a nerd, a music nerd, and I like just study. I study things that just throw me off a little bit. It's just like, how did you do that? Like, what did you do? And so I'm always influenced by people who aren't as predictable.
That's awesome. For me, I mean, I love storytellers. And so some of my favorite writers are like John Mayer. I think he's just absolutely he inspired me to stop playing guitar. And then there's Taylor Swift, who just knows how to almost like tell a story to any teenage girl on the planet. And so obviously using her kind of methods as a good place to start off when we're trying to communicate something like the gospel to as many teenagers as possible. But then obviously there's pop vocals like Justin Bieber who really inspire me. And then there's also like, I grew up listening to Kirk Franklin, Donnie McClurkin. Obviously there's a lot of Hillsong that I really gravitated towards as a kid. And that was the foundation of like, oh, that is crazy looking church. And so we use all of those inspirations from everybody to kind of find ourselves in it. And hopefully our teenagers find themselves in our stories too.
Well, guys, we just appreciate you spending the time with us here. And just like we see Elevation Nights, I hope we see Rhythm Nights here shortly.
Yes. Oh, you said it.
Oh, what a way to end the podcast.